Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. We've been making cheese in Wisconsin since before we were even a state, which may be one reason why we win so many awards for it. It's what happens when a whole state dreams in cheese. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Well, hello. Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer, and it is Wednesday, January 31st, 2024, and this is our 377th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talent in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is a very impressive chef, restaurateur, and author who is based in Copenhagen, Denmark, and I will introduce him fully in a moment. But first, as I do in every show, I will start with my PR tip. And then later, I have my interview and a speed round game, and I'll close out with a solo dining experience. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to know that inspiration must be your own personal thing. Now, this advice comes from my guest today, who is Christian F. Puglisi, based in Copenhagen, Denmark. And he's a contributor to my ChefWise book. And in the inspiration chapter, here's what he said. Chefs come in many different flavors. And where you find inspiration must be very much your own personal thing. Being inspired is what makes you excited about what you want to create or discover. And there is no set recipe for that, obviously. Cooking is universal. Or at least eating is. So it is within reach for all of us to have personal experiences that can inform or inspire our cooking. It can be in the good or the bad. Childhood memories of a grandmother's fantastic cooking can be just as powerful a source of inspiration as the very opposite. But when cooking creatively, you need to be able to create some links that might not seem obvious to anyone but you. So bringing in inspiration or ideas from areas that are entirely your own might create something truly unique. So those are words of wisdom from Christian. Find your own personal inspiration. That's my tip today. Okay, so I'm super excited about my guest today, who, as I mentioned, is Christian F. Puglisi. The F stands for Francesco. And he is the chef and founder of the acclaimed restaurants Relay, Manfred's, Based, and Mirabelle, all in Copenhagen, Denmark. And he's currently operating Based, which is an organic restaurant mad about raw milk cheeses, artisanal butchery, and award-winning pizza, and Mirabelle Spiseria, a kitchen that fuses Danish and Mediterranean gastronomy. And this interview was actually done on location at Mirabelle Spiseria as I was in Copenhagen, and I was able to set up this interview with Christian, and you're going to be hearing our in-person conversation that took place about 6 weeks ago. Christian's former restaurant, Relay, was awarded a Bib Gourmand in 2011, followed by a Michelin star in 2012, and was on the world's 50 best list for numerous years. And I dined there several years ago when I was in Copenhagen. which I'm super fortunate that I got to experience. And in 2014, Christian published his first book, Relay, A Book of Ideas. And in 2016, he founded Farm of Ideas. Now, Christian, as I mentioned, is a contributor to my new book, Chefwise, Life Lessons from Leading Chefs Around the World by Fiden, which came out in the spring last year. Super thrilled that he's a part of it. And I was on a recent solo trip to Copenhagen in the middle of December. And this was my third time there, my first time in winter. So it was pretty chilly, but festive. There were a lot of markets with the holiday season. And so the spirit was alive in Copenhagen. I had been in Copenhagen in 2017. In 2018, I was there for the MAD conference. So I went 2 years in a row, and it was great to be back. And all of my trips there have been solo. So we sat down at his restaurant, Maribel's Pizzeria, which was formerly Maribel, a bakery. And I had visited there on a past trip. So it was nice to see how he's changed things up. And we talk about his book and my book and his career. So we jump into this conversation as we're talking about his book. So that's where it's going to begin and kind of work backwards a little bit into hearing more about his background. I truly enjoyed chatting with him. There is a little background noise from other guests that were at his restaurant. So you might hear a little of that in the background, but I don't think it's going to be a disturbance to our conversation. As I said, we're going to start out and he's going to be talking about his book, Relay, A Book of Ideas. Hope you enjoy.
When you go into a dish, because I've always, when I had cookbooks, I don't start from one end, no? So I just go and see what's going on. Okay. Then I go and I see a dish. And then what I wanted to do was to give an explanation of the dishes, because I think that the idea behind the dish is more interesting than a recipe, particularly to begin with. How you make the recipe and how you technically make this work, I think is of interest to minimal amount of people, while what is going on here is more interesting. And in the chef's word, I think it's very useful. Why do you make this dish and how, right?
Yeah.
So I wrote an essay on all the dishes. And then I found some more like essential ideas behind that were connecting to all more than a handful of dishes, right? So then I put those ideas here as titles. So then if you see water, okay, this has something to do with water and it's pink. And I go.
Okay. So that's the taps. Got it.
And I go here and I can find water. And then water, there's a whole essay about what water is about.
Oh, that's cool. I've never seen a book designed that way.
There is no book this way.
Yeah,
and then this is, this water is a bit cheating because it's in all the dishes, no? But if I go in another one, wine, then I have all the dishes where it's involved. So then I can go to 322 and see, okay, there's another dish that somehow reflects these ideas. It's here, and I can find another one. So I can go back and forth and connect all these ideas, and then in the middle somewhere, I have this book is 10 years old.
That's amazing. I've, as I said, never seen a book designed like that. And it's almost, I mean, anyone can use it, but it's like a chef book.
Yeah.
You know?
You see, they're all connected here. All the ideas and all the dishes.
Wow. Neat. How long did it take you to work on this, put this together?
A
couple years?
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
That's impressive because I feel...
But also because all the dishes were there.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, to me, it was like, okay, I want to do a book. Okay, so how do I approach this? I need to sit down and think about why the dishes that I've done are in the way that they're done. And then I started to put them up in a spreadsheet. Put all the dishes there, and then I made several columns where I would put what I found was, okay, there's an idea here that kind of is recurring. So I put it there, and then I made this whole big sheet, and then I started to say, okay, well, this dish does not really, it doesn't really encapsulate much of these ideas, so it's not going to go in. And but this dish does and has these ideas. So, and then I just build this 66 recipes, something like this. 60, well, dishes. And then I started to work on the essays behind it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, a lot of work. That's why I haven't done another one.
Well, yeah. Well, now that I've done a book, my appreciation for books, of course, is increased. And my book, I mean, I wrote all the intros and put it together, made it into a book. But I, you know, was more relying on you and the chefs to provide their advice.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of amazing advice. What your second book, if you do another book, what would it be?
Well, I have several ideas. But the first one, the most obvious one now would be because Based is going to be 10 years next year.
Amazing. I dine there. So I've been in Copenhagen. This is my third time here. I came in 2017, 18. Came back because I went to Mad in 18. And I dined, forgetting which year I did, but I've been to Base and I went to Relay.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful meal at both. And I came here.
Very good.
Mirabelle, so.
But it's going to be 10 years next year.
That's amazing.
And to me, I would like to write a book about it. But to me, again, what should it be about? Okay, should you write a cookbook about charcuterie? Like, there's plenty of charcuterie books out there, and there's probably people better making charcuterie than we are. Should it be about pizza?
Your pizza is pretty good.
But it's not the recipe that does it. It's not the recipe that does it. You know what I mean?
It's like the love?
Well, it's...
The
whole complexity behind it, all the elements that constitutes it, which is not the recipe. I think the recipe is just this flour and this and this and this. I think it's just such a basic thing, such a small part of it. And for me, writing what's behind, what are the thoughts behind it, why is the restaurant as it is, and a little bit more like I've been doing in this one. It's also what I find interesting as a story to tell, and I think that that's what can interest people in reading. And I prefer making a book that is less, because this was difficult, no? Like, you imagine what it takes to convince a publisher to...
Well, who's your publisher on?
I was going to... 10 Speed.
Okay, yeah. But it's impressive. So, but yeah, you could do one that like matches it, or you could do something completely different.
Yeah. I prefer more smaller, more a book you read.
Yeah.
The pictures are there, yeah, but... Do you need pictures? Like, the function of a book is changing so much in the last 10 years, mm-hmm. 5 years, last 2 years, and I think that we are so saturated with pictures and video and live footage of all things. It's like, do you need a photographer to like do crazy pictures? I mean, you can. I think you can tone it down. I don't think it's as necessary.
You can keep it. I don't know. I think people appreciate realness and, authentic. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be picture perfect or like all, food styled in like the perfect way. But I mean, the thing with my book, with Chefwise, which thank you for contributing. It's really amazing that you're a part of it and just to put this book together. But the book, Chefwise, you don't have to read it cover to cover. It's probably better even if you don't. You just pick it up. Yep. You can look up a specific chef, or you could just pick it up to any page and read a quote or two and just let that digest be inspired.
Exactly.
So
I think that's the to justify, I think, the relevance of a book, you need to be able to give some level of wisdom, I guess, that some people might have, or that can be unique to you, which is based on the combination of a million things that happen to you in your life. And then you can give that out, and that can be interesting. And a book is there to be read. I think the shifting through the book where you look at pictures, I don't think it's relevant anymore. Like, and that's how cookbooks used to be. Very, very picture heavy.
Yeah.
Recipe that nobody would read. And then a lot of pictures that are beautiful, a coffee table. But it's like, I see it, it's nice, but how relevant is it today?
No, I'm smiling because I remember back in the day in the 90s, after college, I moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to cooking school there. I did a 6-month culinary program.
Yeah.
And I got a job then as a server at Charlie Trotter's. Okay. Because he was hiring front of house and I had more experience than front and back. But I had Charlie's cookbook. I didn't have many cookbooks at the time, but I remember having his book and looking at the photos of the food and just being fascinated. Like, yeah. How do you do that? And yeah. Again, this is like 1997.
Yeah.
So I do think people like looking at photos, and photos are very appealing, but it's not going to teach you how to make the dish. And you're right. This is now 20 plus years later.
Yeah. But I can tell you another thing. When I worked in a building in 2006, and when I would come back from the bully with the bully cookbooks,
yeah,
you had something you could show. You'd be like, oh my God, what is this place? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That wouldn't happen today. I would bring a cookbook. If I would go work at Noma,
yeah,
and I will come back and I will bring you the cookbook of Noma, it would be all news. Everybody would see, had seen these things. It's all out there.
Well, because we all have our phones and we all Instagram and we all post pictures versus back in the day to know what a chef's food looked like. Either they had a cookbook with photos or you went to their restaurant. Yes. That was the only way
you would come back from a place that you, it's like exploring a new uncharted territory. You come back and like, look at what I saw and what I found. You're not able to tell the story any longer because everybody would know what that is about with the blink of an eye. If I tell you about a restaurant in Chicago, you would look it up and within 10 minutes you have an idea,
mm-hmm.
a visual idea about what this place is about. It would not take you 10 minutes. And I think we need to adapt to that and understand that what is it that you can offer.
Yeah.
And I think you just, if you don't go a little bit deeper, it's pointless. And that's why for me, the cookbook where, like who goes and look for a cookbook if you like, oh, I want to make cookies. You Google it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that the whole recipe is just, it's redundant. It's like it's kind of on its last to make a living out of making recipes. I think that must be difficult, no?
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's cool because you obviously think at the box. You think about this stuff, and you do things your way and a new way. You're a lot of reason, I think, why I would say you've been successful and a leader in the industry. So let's go back a little bit to your background, because I know you're from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
What led you into this world of cooking and becoming a chef and then to move to Copenhagen?
I didn't make that choice because I came here with my parents.
Okay.
As a child.
Okay.
So I moved here as an immigrant child to Denmark.
When you were how old?
Eight.
Okay.
Yeah, in 90. I'm born in 82, so I was here at 90 with my parents. And I think going to cooking was kind of returning a little bit to my roots because I'm very much connected cooking with Italy in my Italian background.
Well, so. I looked up where you're from in Italy. It was Messina
exactly. Yeah.
And that's a part of Sicily.
Yes.
I've been to Sicily once and I've been to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to Messina, but I've been to Taormina and Catania and that was, I think it was 2015. But is it like a beautiful little coast town or
no.
That's my, in my head.
Yeah. Everybody, that's what I always say when people think, oh, I grew up in Italy or in Sicily. Then people imagine this family under the olive tree, beautiful, you know, house on the countryside, everybody having a good time, eating house-made food from scratch, and blah, blah, blah. It's just not reality. People are people in Italy too, you know.
Right.
But it's just a very ordinary town. But I have very clear memories of it, and also. What I think is interesting in Italy, or at least in Sicily, is that you have a closer connection to more rural times. because it's not as far away as it is here. Like, nobody my age here has the recollection of grandparents working the land or growing their own food and so on and so on. While in Sicily, that's much more closer, right?
Yeah.
I literally had, wasn't my grandfather because he died young, but my cousin's grandfather on a mule going up the mountains, growing, like literally being a farmer, self-sustained. And that was it, you know, like growing tomatoes and aubergines and beans and blah, 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 blah. Super, super simple lifestyle, wood-fired oven, sourdough bread, all these things. Not out of, you know, it's a slow food ideal, no, out of necessity. And I think that that has, it sits in me as a part of my past. And I think all of our past, as in this time where food was just more important than it is today.
Yeah.
And I think that that has very much motivated me to cook food and to be in the restaurant industry, because that's kind of where it is, that part of it. And I say also, you know, we need to be the grandmothers of our day, because I was just listening in the radio now, they made the survey in Denmark, what kind of food would people are making at home today for mm-hmm. dinner, what is the most, and it was one is rye bread, which is here's like the staple, the lunch staple, you, a slice of rye bread with something on it.
Well, yeah, smorgasbord.
Yeah, but that's the way you see it in a restaurant is by far the most advanced one.
Yeah, yeah.
So the poor man's version would just be, you know, a liver pate on it or some eggs on it or yeah, ham, just cheese,
okay,
just very, very, very
yeah.
straightforward, no? So that would be first place, and then pizza and sandwich. That's like the three most eaten
yeah.
dinner foods, right? And the discussion is, you know, people even know how to cook, and there was a chef that is quite famous here. He's a bit old and he's a bit conservative and he's very old school. But he says, you know, in two generations, you lose a craft. It takes two generations where you don't have one person showing the next person how to do a certain thing for it to be gone. And with food and at home cooking, that's gone a long time ago. And I think in Denmark, it's very clear that, you know, most people have lost the understanding of how to cook a piece of meat, or how to cook a fish, or how to deal with a vegetable and so on. Then you can go buy some recipes and maybe help you some of the way, but it's still not embedded in people's skill set anymore. And we don't have, particularly in Denmark, that is so advanced as a society in so many levels, you don't have the housewife or home, anybody, you know, male or female, at home cooking food all day. It doesn't exist. So who teaches the next generation how to cook? Nobody does.
You do.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's where you get, that's where you
yeah.
you can see a level of responsibility between
yeah.
Us as chefs, that, you know, we could be maybe having something between our hands that is important, because we need to keep up this craft, you know, and culture. And not only for me, not only the cooking part, but I see even more at risk is the sitting around the table part, you know, where you just
true.
Simply appreciate someone cooking for you, because that's also going. I mean, I know in America it's completely fucked,
well,
where you eat all your meals in a car. And
when I grew up, we had dinner as a family together, you know, it was a nightly, maybe not every night of the week, but it was a part of the thing. You had dinner together at the end of the day. And I think today the generation, like, people don't do that. So, and I think it was pretty common to have dinner together, and now people are doing their own thing. So I think, yes, we're losing
I find
that as well.
I find that at home myself, I'm quite strict about it. Like, I want us to eat together.
Yeah, I think that's nice.
And I think your kids need to grow up, because I think also the table is it's sort of a platform for the family, you know? Like, if you don't gather around the table, where do you gather?
Well, you don't.
It just becomes, yeah. It just becomes so fragmented. And then, okay, I get up early and I have to do my thing and I go to work and you go to school and blah, blah, blah. It's just these people crossing each other at the different times. And I don't think that that's a family. Like, if you don't have time where you sit down with each other and don't really have much to do just for a moment, it's not going. And it's just clear, like, to me now, my I have two kids. One is 12 and one is two.
Yeah.
He's gonna be two on Thursday.
Happy almost birthday.
Thank you. And they but the big one is now already having a lot of shit to do every afternoon, you know. And it's already like, okay, well, he doesn't finish his practice at before 6, so he's back at 6:30, and you know, the little kid, you want to have him to eat maybe actually a little bit earlier, so
yeah,
how do we do this
schedules.
You know, ooh, already there we're starting to see that it's already complicating things. And so yeah, I think it's I just think it's very important. And as a restaurant, I think we can offer something that people otherwise will lose.
Yeah, so I agree. Your path, cooking school, and you went to Ubali, and then you worked at Noma as well, mm-hmm. and then you opened Relay. Is that kind of how it went down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ubali in 2006, and then Noma in from 7, and then Relay was in 10.
And I dined there, and I think it was 2017. I remember sitting, in the front room, very special. And also, when did, am I saying right, based?
Yep,
based. I never know with the AE combo. Based,
yeah.
Okay, I've been there as well. And here we are at Mirabel, which, we'll talk a little about all of these concepts and like how you've changed things up. Was it a pandemic-related change?
I think I always say that whatever happens in 2020 had to do with the pandemic. Everything had to do with the pandemic.
Right.
There's no way around that. But it wasn't the obvious, you know, the economy, lockdowns. That was not the thing. I closed Relay and Manfred's in 2020 because...
Oh, yeah, Manfred's. I went there too.
Yeah.
Loved it. Wine bar.
So I closed it down because I just simply could see that, okay, we're going into some very crazy times and I need to focus my time in one or the other. And I cannot support both and be in both. And moving forward, I think I've kind of done with the Relay and the world's 50 best and Michelin stars and all that stuff. I don't want to do that anymore. So I decided to close down that part of it and stay here. And then Mirabel here, this year, changed it from being Mirabel Bakery to being Mirabel Spiseria, which is more like a restaurant, bistro, every all-day restaurant.
Amazing. I've always been a fan of all your places. And do you want to open more? Or are you sort of set?
I think honestly that we will go into more troubled times in the next couple of years. I think the restaurant industry has lived its golden age in Copenhagen, and I think it's wise to focus on what you have and try and make keep a high quality standard and make sure that you are secure that for the future, then venturing out and opening more restaurants. There is so many restaurants in Copenhagen right now that are, I think, completely saturating the market. So I think it's about sticking to what we have and do well. And then I prefer spending more time in writing and doing those things than running around trying to solve problems in one more restaurant.
Yeah, well, it's very special to be here and to experience all the places you have. And it's good, I think, to transition or to do other new things. So let's talk a little bit about my book, Chef Wise, because you're a contributor. So you're in a bunch of the chapters. You're in leadership, I believe, philosophy and fundamentals. As of today, it doesn't have to be something maybe even you contributed to the book. But what would you say is your top advice for like a young person maybe thinking of being a chef or getting into the industry?
I think what's key is to mature to the point where you can you can really put yourself on the other side of the table, so to say. So I feel that I really grew a lot once I started to understand what I like to eat and what I like to experience more than just what I like to cook or serve, you know? So I think once you get that as a parameter, and then you can kind of make your own criteria for success. You say, okay, this is what I really like. This is what I really enjoy. So I can work towards that. And if I do that and people like it, that's great. If they don't like it, well, I'm doing what I like to do and I can keep developing on that. I think what a lot of people lack is the courage to find out what it is that they want, and they start going for what seems to create a success. And I think if you go for what makes the success, you will never create anything unique ever, because if you do something that is clearly wanted, it's also clearly done. And if you create something that is not obvious for everybody to want, well, there's a chance for you to actually find a new path and create something new and original. And to me, that is what I find interesting. It's not necessarily the best business case, because I think if you innovate too much, then you are ahead of your time, and then in the end, you don't get paid for it. You know, you don't get the benefits. You don't reap the benefits. You go out, you create something, other people get inspired by you, and they do it a little bit compromising in the right way, and they make a greater business out of it than you do. I've seen that many, many times, and that's just what it is. But to me, what I really find interesting is the way of being ahead of your time, the way of thinking out of the box and exploring new territory. And that's what I find interesting, and I think that that's something you very much can do in cooking and restaurants if you have the courage to do it. I read a while back where, you know, it's kind of the story of our civilization, where you have a farmer would do whatever different and, you know, harvest a higher yield. So whatever, they water in this different way, and they all of a sudden they get 20% more yield. Let's say we're talking a Stone Age. Then what does the neighboring farmer do? They copy that farmer, right? But it's a benefit for everybody that you have 20% more yield. So when you innovate and you have people copying you, you're actually helping develop our common good. And I think that that's something that I find very rewarding to think about. If I've been capable of doing something that inspires other people to do the same, yeah, I've actually contributed to something that is not going straight into my pocket, but it's developing and changing things in a direction that apparently is what I wanted, because that's what I started doing. You know? So, yeah, that's my interest.
I love it. Okay, so before I let you go, or we both go, because I got to catch a plane, would you like to play my speed round? I have a fun little speed round game I play on my show where I'll name a couple things and you get to pick your preference, such as chocolate or vanilla. Okay, so here we go. Eat in at home or eat out at a restaurant?
Eat in at home.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
I'm too old and too introverted to be out all the time.
How about al fresco dining or indoor dining?
Al fresco.
Wine, beer, cocktail, mocktail, or champagne?
Wine.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge? I don't know if that's a thing here. No, well, people talk about it a lot in the U.S.
I imagine. I would say tipping.
Okay. Schmorboard, I don't know if I say that right, or a Copenhagen hot dog?
Schmorboard.
Biking or any other mode of transportation?
Biking, for sure.
It's the way. Okay, two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Dessert.
And then I do a Manhattan or Brooklyn or Copenhagen.
Copenhagen, for sure.
For sure. Well, your parents moved here, but you stayed, so.
Well, I've traveled to different places. Yeah. I worked in Spain, I worked in France, blah, blah, blah. And then I've got to travel a lot as a chef on my own. And it's like, whenever I've traveled away and I've come back, I've always liked Kunming more.
Yeah.
And I think that there is no city like this. And, we had a guy trialing in here for a shift, and an American. And he loved the place, but he hated the city. And I'm like, wow, I don't even know how that's possible. I think this is, the city is just a phenomenal.
I love it. I mean, this is my third time here. I will be back. I know I'll be back. And yeah, it's, and actually the biking culture, I love that too. I mean, I bike in New York. We have a bike share program, but our city, I mean, it keeps getting better with bike lanes, but it wasn't designed initially for that. So it's kind of crazy biking in Manhattan.
Yeah, it's different. Everybody's biking all the time.
Yeah.
There's no point in not biking. That's the thing. It's like I do the car sometimes because I have to bring many things, or right, like I have my son, I have to bring him in the daycare back and forth. There's some logistical issues, but if the sun is shining, I would do the cargo bike anytime.
Yeah, I have not seen the sun actually since I've been here.
It's a shitty time. So now when it's like, most, not for me, but mostly for him, when it's too cold and too red,
it's,
I have like 10, 15 minutes bike ride. So I get lazy in the car, but if it wasn't for him, I would bike all the time. Also, you don't have to park. There's just a liberty with it that I think is fantastic.
Wow, it's fantastic. I love visiting. Maybe, I don't know, maybe one day I'll move here. Who knows?
Who knows?
But thank you so much, and congratulations on everything you've achieved. Again, thank you for being part of ChefWise. It's been a real treat to have you a part of it and to be with you here today. So thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. There's a reason when you think of Wisconsin, you think cheese. Cheese is a huge part of Wisconsin's history and future. In Wisconsin, the state of cheese, the tradition of cheesemaking excellence began 180 years ago, before Wisconsin was recognized as a state. Immigrants traveled to settle in this lush green hills of Wisconsin, bringing their cheesemaking traditions with them. These storied skills, combined with the freshest milk available, created a cheesemaking culture that is uniquely Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 1,200 cheesemakers, many of whom are third and fourth generation, continue to pass on old-world traditions while adopting modern innovations in cheesemaking craftsmanship. Find your next favorite cheese at wisconsincheese.com.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer. And today, my guest is Christian F. Puglisi, the chef and founder of the acclaimed restaurants Relay, Manfred's, Based, and Mirabel, which is now Mirabel Spiceria, where we did our interview, and I hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed sitting down with Christian and chatting with him in Copenhagen. I'm thrilled he's a part of my book, ChefWise, and it was a real treat. So thank you, Christian. I will be back. I know I will. And I look forward to seeing you again and come back to your amazing places. Okay, so it's time for my solo dining experience. So this week it's at Cone, and that's K-O-A-N. It's Cone Restaurant. And guess what? It's in Copenhagen. Here's the rundown. The location, Langelinecage 5, 2100 Copenhagen, Denmark. I'll tell you more about where it is situated in the city in a second. So the concept, it's a 2-Michelin-star restaurant using Korean flavors and techniques with a set tasting menu based on the best ingredients the Nordic seasons offer. The chef and owner, Christian Baumann, who is in my new book, ChefWise, and he also was my guest on episode 213, which I did in April 2019. The title of that show is On the Road at the 2019 Philly Chef Conference with Mike Trout, Matt Orlando, and Christian Baumann. And Matt Orlando is also in my ChefWise book. And if you want to go back and listen to my interview, Please do so. So why did I go? Well, I've met Christian. I met him on a previous trip to Copenhagen when I dined at his restaurant 108 that he had at the time. And I had seen him again at the Philly Chef Conference when we did our interview. And he's in my book. And I was excited to check out his new place. So my experience. So I made a reservation for one. I reached out to Christian and made sure he was going to be there. I was hoping he was going to be there when I visited, and he was. And when I arrived, I was warmly greeted by him and his manager, Sebastian, and his whole team. And they just took such lovely care of me. I was seated at a spacious table near the front of the restaurant. It's kind of a rectangular, triangular space with an open kitchen. And the tables are very spaced out. There's only about, I think, about 24, 25 seats, and they only do one seating a night. So it's a very lovely experience where you don't feel rushed at all to enjoy their tasting menu, which is the style of menu that they do. And many of the dishes during my meal were presented by Christian himself, and I was right by the open kitchen as well, so I could watch the chefs work. Also, not a lot of chefs in the kitchen, a kind of limited staff, but it was so wonderful and perfectly executed. It was really a special experience, and I'm so glad I was able to make it. So what did I get? Well, as I said, so they have a tasting menu. There are over 15 courses. They're small courses. And I did their non-alcoholic drink pairing, which was fantastic. And the whole meal was just exquisite. I posted photos already on my at Sherry Bayer account on Instagram, and I will post more at All Industry. But some of the dishes I got that were some of my favorite bites were the pepper pork mandu. There was a scallop and ceviche, which was just gorgeous. The attention to detail on that dish was incredible. There was langoustine and mac gioli. Definitely not pronouncing that right, but it was fabulous. Ribeye with kimchi and caramelized rice and some of the desserts. There was chestnut and sesame dasik. And all of the dishes were presented on beautiful plateware from a Korean ceramist. I don't know if they came from all the same place, but it's sort of like Ottomix, where they're using this beautiful plateware to accompany their beautiful food. So I guess I'm jumping ahead to it. My take, it was exquisite from start to finish. And my non-alcoholic pairings were wonderful. They were gorgeous, first of all, with their different colors. There was one that was goji berry and rose, and another sencha, kombu, basil, and chervil. They were just delicious to go with the food, and
the whole experience was wonderful. I stayed a bit after my meal and got to chat with Christian, and we took lots of photos of my book, and it was just really special to be there. So thank you.
So the ambiance, it's a beautiful space. It's minimalistic. It's light beige tones, very high ceiling. It's located in a building on the historic waterfront, which is near the iconic bronze, the Little Mermaid sculpture. So it's not in the main center part of Copenhagen, but it's definitely worth the journey to, and just a lovely ambiance. I'd say it's perfect for a special date night or special solo dining experience. Interesting tidbit. So Cone began as two successful pop-ups. And one of the spaces that Cohen did their pop-up was in Relay, which was Christian Puglisi's former restaurant, to tie things together. And Christian Baumann used to work at Relay. And he also used to work at Noma before opening 108. So everyone is pretty much connected in Copenhagen from what I've gathered over my trips and experiences there. Now, the name Cone is a riddle-like question in Zen Buddhism meant to break boundaries and create an open mind. And the restaurant was recently recognized by the world's 50 best on its 50 best discovery list. Okay, so personal fun fact. So while I was in Copenhagen, of course, I dined around as much and as best as I could. Other restaurants I went to, I went back to Noma. I had been there once before for their vegetable season. This time I got to experience their game and forest season. This is, of course, Rene Redzepi's restaurant, 3 Michelin stars. And I had a fabulous experience there, and I got to see Rene. I also went to Cadeau, which is 2 Michelin stars, and I loved that experience, as I did also Jatak, which is 1 Michelin.
I really had amazing meals while I was in Copenhagen. I also went to Poppelburger, which comes from former team members of Noma, and it's in the former space of 108, once again to tie things together. And I had Schmorbord at Amman's 1921. And I went to Bo Beck's new place, Bo Bay. It's fantastic. And he was my guest on episode 174, which we did in April 2017 in person at our studio in the backyard of Roberta's. And that was really special. And it was so great to see him. And I had an extraordinary meal there with some friends. And we were at the chef's table in the kitchen, which was super special. So thank you, Bo.
Also in Copenhagen, of course, I had lots of coffee and pastries. I went to Prologue, Copenhagen Coffee Lab, Heart Bakery, Coffee Collective, as I mentioned earlier, Mirabelle's Spiceria. And where else did I hit? Original Coffee, Orsa. And I went to Christian Baumann's Modern Casual Korean Eatery, which is called Juju. And I went there with my good friend, Marissa Lippert, who's a chef who's currently living in Copenhagen. And I also went to her restaurant that she's at, Villette, and I had a terrific dinner there. So thank you to all the chefs and restaurants for your amazing hospitality. I really loved all of my dining experiences and look forward to returning. Okay.
So the cost of my meal at Cohen was in DK or Danish krone, 3,050, which in the US is over $400. Yes, I know it is a lot to spend on a meal. It was a splurge and it was worth it for me. And I'm thankful to Christian and his team as well because they did comp my beverage pairing. So thank you so much. I'm very grateful for that and just for your hospitality in general.
Would I go back? Yes. Very special experience. And congratulations to Christian and his entire team. And look forward to following along your journey and hopefully returning. Their website is cohencph.dk and Instagram at cohencph and at Christian Baumann. And Christian spells his name with a K, and Christian Puglisi spells his name with a C. So there you go. Same name, but different. Okay, so that's the show. Thank you so much to Christian F. Puglisi, the chef and founder of the acclaimed restaurants Relay, Manfred's, Based, and Mirabelle, which is now Mirabelle's Spiceria, where we did our interview on location, and you can check out more about his restaurants at mirabelle-spizzeria.dk and at based.dk. Those are their websites, and on Instagram at chrifapug, that's Christian's handle, and at BaseCPH, and that's BaestCPH, and at Mirabelle underscore Spiceria, and that's MiraBelle underscore Spicera. Thank you, Christian and Christian, for being a part of my ChefWise book, and Matt Orlando, formerly of Amas, which I've dined at twice on my past trips. It is now closed, and Matt was not in Copenhagen while I was there, but I believe he's working on a project with Will Goldfarb, who has Room for Dessert in Bali. And I've been there too, and Will is also in my book. And so it's nice to see that they're collaborating. And I believe they're working in something in Singapore, which is super cool. So thank you all. And again, thank you to Christian F. Puglisi for your hospitality and taking the time to chat with me. It was a true pleasure, and I wish you much continued success.
And to all the chefs, wishing you all the best. Okay, for me, you can follow me at Sherry Bayer, at Bayer PR, and at All Industry.
My Facebook page is All in the Industry. My websites, BayerPublicRelations.com, SherryBayer.com, and OnTheIndustry.com. All of our shows are archived at HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Check out my new book, Chefwise, Life Lessons from Leading Chefs Around the World by Fiden, now available wherever books are sold. And on that note, I also have to say, I stopped by two bookstores in Copenhagen. Politikens Boghall is the first, and their sister bookstore, which is Paludan Bog and Cafe. And they had copies of Chefwise, and they were excited to see me, as I was excited that they were carrying my book, and I signed copies. And it is so cool to travel around the world and go into a bookstore and have my book there. It is so surreal for me, and I'm just grateful. So thank you. And thank you to everyone out there for your support. I hope anyone who's picked up a copy is enjoying it as much as I did in putting it together. Thanks to my engineer today, Armin. Thanks again to Christian and Christian. I'm your host and producer, Sherry Bayer. I will be back next week with a new show. Hope you'll tune in then. And thank you as always for being part of All in the Industry. Bye. All in the Industry is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.